I have a problem with David Hetty.
You can open a set by being like really distraught and uncomfortable and slow and saying,
I want to know what
this is David Hetty, and you are listening to I Have a Problem with David Hetty. You know, maybe you're listening to other things, but this as well, I suppose. So I guess right now what's going on, I'm going to keep this intro a little bit short and get to the conversation with my very good friend, actually. His name's Mike, and he would prefer to remain, you know, relatively anonymous as he can without, you know, not having been on the podcast. That's all I'm going to say. And he and I have been good friends for a very long time, basically since like grade 9, grade 10. One of my, you know, in your group of guy friends, he was one of the, you know, 5 or 6 or whatever. So again, lots of like ridiculous weekends and whatever. Anyway, you understand this. And basically, I think it's it was really enjoyable to see him, because I'm in New York, and he came down for his own reasons, but he came to visit for the weekend, and we hung out, and he slept over, and it was great. It was so lovely to see him, and so I think that this is one of the podcasts where I'm just most comfortable, and I think that comes across. I think that's a nice thing, and as well, then, you know, the stories, there are some pretty funny stories, I think, in this one. And it's kind of maybe one of the longer podcasts. And not to, like, have some great teaser, but if you get bored, like, especially at the end, there's a very funny story. I think it's funny. And a sexy, sexual story. But basically, what else do I want to say? You know, go listen to this. If you want, you come in later, and I can do a little talking afterwards, after the conversation, with my very good friend, Mike.
Oops. I wrote some stuff down.
You did?
Kind of.
All right.
I don't really know. This is going to ramble a little bit, but we'll see what's happening.
Well, I guess, don't sell it short before it's come short.
All right.
Thank you for being here.
Have we started?
Yep.
All right. I'm glad to be here.
Okay, good.
I want to start on a note of cultural sensitivity. Wish you a happy Yom Kippur. I hope you've enjoyed your holiday.
No, it's not supposed to be jokes, Mike. No jokes.
I think this is meant to be serious. I think we're enjoying a traditional Seder is it Seder after Yom Kippur? Do I have that right?
Well, no.
No? What happens after? What's the thing you do after?
You're really exposing me. It's a terrible...
That's my
representative
idea.
This of my culture.
This is the problem I have with you, is that you're not keeping the faith properly.
No, Seder is more for Passover.
Okay.
But after Yom Kippur, I imagine that people generally eat a nice big meal
drink
with their family.
Yeah, right.
But
because the sun has just gone down on Yom Kippur.
My family didn't invite me. I emailed my family in Brooklyn saying I'm here. It'd be nice to have dinner one evening. These are the highest holidays. Didn't get a call or anything.
You should have them on this show.
I should. They wouldn't call me back. I'm calling you back.
Disgraceful. Disgraceful.
But I'm happy. I don't know. Anyway, because it's interesting. Because I'll have already introduced you as someone, a good friend.
All right.
Ways back.
Yes. Because I think that the other people that have been on this podcast, because I've listened to them all.
Okay.
I'm a fan.
Oh.
But the other people that have done this podcast, I think I've known you for longer than all of them save Nick.
Yeah.
So Nick and myself and a few other people date back to a group of fresh-faced young kids.
Grade 9, grade 10.
That started hanging out in grade 9, grade 10. And with some exceptions, for the most part, are still friends in some form or another.
No, another being not at all.
No, most people within our group of friends still hang out with some other people in that group of friends, or at least keep contact
with
them.
I guess so. I think one would be gotten hardened to the drugs a little bit.
Yeah, a little
bit.
Lovely
guy, but...
Yeah, I don't know what happened to him.
Anyway.
this took a dark turn.
But others are now having kids who aren't, you know, as far as I know, on drugs.
So. A lot of people are having kids and doing things, and we're doing this podcast.
Yeah, well, it's something.
This is self-reflection for both of us. the purpose of this podcast, as I understand it, is to bring up a problem or a complaint or a grievance. And I want to start, we will get to the problem with David Hetty.
Okay, can I ask something?
Yes,
can
please.
We say what you do? I know you want to keep somewhat of a low profile.
Yeah. Please do.
What
so,
do you say? It.
Okay, so I do legal work for an NGO that promotes human rights. And the reason why I don't want my last name used or the name of the NGO used is essentially because I don't really want it to be Googleable.
Googleable.
Right? Like if you look up the NGO, I don't want this podcast to come up because there's a degree of political sensitivity to some of the stuff that we do.
Right.
And I don't know where this conversation's going to go. We may be having a 30-minute conversation about fistulas,
as
I believe
possible.
Has happened before. So, well, I want to... It's not like... I think that a fair number... Not a fair number, but certainly some of the people listening would probably be people that know me.
Are you the Svengali who like gets girls to take their tops off in Russia all the time?
Yes. Okay. I actually I'm the producer of the Girls Gone Wild videos, and I have a reputation to protect.
I think I met someone involved with that once. Anyway, that's not the issue. I think I did. No, it's a joke I heard once about Girls Gone Wild in libraries. Like it's not my joke, okay? So it's about Girls Gone Wild. It's not a big deal if they're on spring break, but if you were going to libraries and get these girls to take their tops off,
it would be
that
more would
impressive.
Be,
yeah, I think it's anyway. I'm sorry, whoever joke it is. Anyway, not anyway. Go on.
I was just going to say that I'm sure that some of the people who are listening to this will know who I am, and also I'm sure that like honestly,
don't tell anyone it's Mike.
I'm just saying that like, well, there's that, and I'm fine with that, and I'm also fine with the fact that people, if they do a little legwork, will probably be able to figure out who I am.
You'd hope so.
But the point is, and I'm fine with that because I assume I'm not going to say anything too outrageous.
It doesn't matter. I'm going to put your name up anyway, so all this doesn't matter.
Like, I'm just going to go on a long anti-Semitic rant as part of this. No, I mean, like, it's not something that I'm going to say too badly, but it's just one of those things where, like, because there's some sensitivity around what
okay.
I do.
Let's get to the
grievance.
Yeah.
So I want to start, before we do my problem with David Hetty, or our, like, confrontation, I want to start with a problem that I have with a previous guest.
Okay.
That you had on this show.
Oh, I like this. This is so turning. I like this. Okay, go on.
This is a problem that I have with Daniel, mm-hmm. Who I've never met personally, but who I don't want to say despise because that seems strong, but I got a really negative impression from listening to the podcast, and I reacted very strongly to you when I heard it. And there's a few aspects to it. I mean, I was a little surprised listening to the podcast about you saying that this was a friend of yours because he seemed very, I don't know, well, first of all, like, I'll start by saying that, like, you mentioned in a subsequent podcast, I think, that you had gotten a complaint from a female friend of yours.
Yeah.
That this was like douchey locker room talk.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And actually, so I just listened to the podcast again today as preparation.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I listened to two of them today. I listened to that one and I listened to Nick's one on my way back from the museum.
Uh-huh.
And like, I completely got that sense from him. Not from you, but completely from him. He really sounded like a locker room douche in the way that he was talking about women.
Okay.
And I'm not trying to wave that flag. Lord knows I'm certainly not, you know, pure as the wind driven snow on that issue. And I'm sure that, like, whatever.
Uh-huh.
But I get where they were coming from him, for one.
Okay.
But more to the point, and I really had a problem with the way that he approached things with you.
Wait, why are you saying this? Why are you telling this?
Why am I telling this? Yeah. Because I just want to go around ranting against this guy, and I thought it
but
would
this
be.
Isn't the, okay, I'm, wait.
That's so not the format
your,
of the show.
This is your own personal.
This is my platform.
Okay, okay. So what's the problem you had with? Maybe I'll defend him. I'll defend him.
All right, you'll defend him. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, look. All right. Because I just had a real problem with him just going on about how you're a class traitor and all that stuff.
Because, okay, he said I'm a class traitor because I'm not going to lab, I'm doing comedy.
Right. Well, he painted this picture, first of all, of the idea that, like, people who are educated should always, and from an educated background, should always pursue the same background as their parents.
Okay.
Really. And that if you're not doing that, you're a class traitor.
Okay.
Which is such a stupid thing to say. Because it just... First of all, a class traitor is generally somebody, is traditionally supposed to be somebody from the lower classes who works for the establishment.
Okay.
Right? So calling somebody from, like, an educated or resourced class who chooses not to necessarily pursue that a class traitor is wrong.
Okay.
But beyond that, like, he paints this ridiculous rosy picture of lawyers as defenders of justice.
And they're not.
And it's such a ridiculous thing to say.
I know.
And I just, that was all that I had to, like, because if he's listening, like, it's so absurd. And I'm not sure if he understood the absurdity of what he was saying
okay.
when he was throwing that out there.
So now you expect people listening to this to go listen to that to get the necessary context.
I'm trying to engage people into your podcast.
By doing something totally different than what I asked you to come do.
I'm trying to, well, now they'll, like, maybe they'll go to the other episode and be like, oh, yeah, let's listen to the back catalog.
Yeah, maybe. Or maybe they'll be like, this is too much fucking work.
Maybe.
And
why do you have such contempt for your audience? Maybe
I don't have contempt for my audience. I think they have their time is valuable.
Okay, fair enough. Well, we'll agree to disagree on that. which was a conflict that we had. And I thought I would bring it up just to see sort of where it leads.
Uh-huh.
And because I'm kind of curious, because I actually want more details on this story now.
Okay, okay, I'm curious.
So I got an email from you, I guess this was a year ago or 2 years ago,
uh-huh.
and it basically said, you had a female friend that had a problem that she didn't want to go to a doctor for. Could she describe the symptoms to me, and I would describe them to my brother, who's a doctor, and he would get back to her about her condition. And I answered with a few things. I said, like, well, okay, first of all, these kinds of, like, secondhand symptoms, like, you're not going to get a proper diagnosis. I said, I basically channeled my brother because...
So what happened is basically I was... Can I... I don't know if it's clear.
Please
follow... So basically the background is I was seeing a girl who had some embarrassing... Or, you know, she thought it was an embarrassing health issue.
Yeah.
And didn't want to see a doctor.
Yeah.
And that's why I emailed you.
And you emailed me.
Yeah.
And so she would describe the symptoms to you. Mm-hmm. You would describe the symptoms to me.
Right.
I would describe them to my brother. And then and we would go to the broken telephone
and
all the way back.
See who was right.
And get a diagnosis of her medical issue.
Right.
Through this ridiculous broken telephone system.
Okay, all right.
And I think I was in law school at the time, so I made my response was slightly legalistic.
Overly legalistic.
Right. I was studying for a health law exam at the time, so I might have thrown in some gibberish about it. Might have. I threw in some gibberish about standards of care and all that garbage.
Okay.
And I recognize that that's not relevant. But more to the point is two things. One is that, like, objectively, this is not the way you should approach a medical problem. We live in a country where that has free healthcare. Go to a fucking doctor.
Okay.
That's one aspect of it.
Okay.
Another aspect is that, like, I kind of understand you bringing this to me. Although I think that, like, it was a bit of an imposition to ask me to go to my brother with something like this.
Okay.
But beyond that, like, I know what he's going to say. I've grown up around doctors. I basically said, he's going to say, what are you doing? I'm not going to participate in this. She needs to get her ass to the doctor because I can't give her a proper diagnosis.
Okay.
And I essentially relayed that to you. And you were... So my problem is not that you brought that to me. I think that was a slight imposition. But I don't... Not that's not what I fault you for. But you were furious when I got back to you.
Were they really?
You came back to me and said something along the lines of, like, I'm, like, really, really upset about this. Like, I can't believe it. Like, this, I'm just asking for something so simple. Don't you know that I'm, like, I know all this legalistic stuff. Like, how could you say no to me and blah, blah, blah.
Uh-huh.
And you were, I think that you first of all, shouldn't have asked me that. And second of all, after you had asked me, you should have accepted no gracefully.
Okay. Fuck, I wish we could pull up the emails. Do you want to pull up the emails right now?
We can. Take a look? Do you want to pause?
All right, we'll take a little break. I mean, I guess some of the things that were said include... So basically, this is a long email string. But I basically asked you to do me a favor. This girl I'm seeing has this injury. I can't even...
It was an injury?
An injury? Well, that's what it says. And ask your brother for a quick response. And I said, admittedly, it's a ridiculous thing that she doesn't want to go get it checked out. And then you write me back and you say... legal issues and things like this, you guarantee it won't be the most embarrassing thing the doctor has dealt with. And I wrote you back, I said things like, I mean, giving me all this somewhat patronizing ethical legal mumbo jumbo, we're two old, very good friends, and I asked you for a favor because my girlfriend had a medical concern, da 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 da. And then I mean, Jesus Christ, Mike, and I never intended to get this angry in the email, but the more I think about it, if there's a next time I ask you for a favor, please have a little faith in the judgment of your goddamn good friend. You think I enjoy asking things of people I don't really know for someone other than me. This is something I do lightly or often. And then I neither want nor expect this to have any repercussions with respect to our friendship. And I mean that sincerely, honestly, but man, I think you were so way incredibly fucking wrong on this one.
I ended my first email by saying, if you want to avoid repeating this, remember to tie a string or onto anything that you shove up there. as my little joke. Right. And then you came back with all this anger. And so I came back to you and said, apparently I was right about you having something up your ass.
Right, which is very funny. But I mean, that was a funny joke. Okay, so this is the problem. So your problem is that I came back with you so...
Yes.
So hard, so yep. Emotionally.
Yes.
Okay. I think that...
Well, can we get more... Can I get more... And I understand if you were going to draw a line here. Can I get more backstory on what was going on?
I think what happened... Okay, I'm trying to remember. Like, I don't even know if I remember, it was clearly... I don't know, we're not using any names or anything like this, obviously. I just think it was some sort of concern with respect to, a sensitive area somewhere, down there. And I said to her, like, go see a doctor. What the hell? What are you thinking? And she didn't want to go.
Why didn't she want to go? Was it embarrassment or was? Because you had said something about that they don't have clinics, or that it's tough to get a family doctor.
I think it is difficult in Quebec where it was at the time to go. But I don't look. It doesn't matter why she didn't want to go. I did what I could to say look, you're being irrational. Like no doctor is gonna give a shit. Just go.
Yeah.
But she wouldn't go, and I was concerned for her well-being, and I really was like. I am genuinely concerned for you, and I want to find something out. So if you're not going to go, and I asked her, would you be okay with this? Like, I'm not using names, anything like this. And she said, sure. And that's why. And I think that I was so hurt by your response to not see your brother or to tell me the reasons as to why you're not going to talk to your brother. Because, I guess I kind of did feel that... I have a sister, and I know you're close to your brothers.
Yeah.
And I felt like if you were to come to me with some sort of question about writing that needed answered by my sister... No, but, honestly, I kind of felt that you would just trust my judgment in this case to ask you something totally crazy because I'm in some situation where it really matters, and I couldn't go to my mom for obvious reasons.
Yeah, I understand why you couldn't go to your mom, but I think that in the end I did end up talking to my brother, mm-hmm. and he essentially told me exactly what I told you,
okay.
Because he said, like, first of all, this is irresponsible. Second of all, it's too tangential in the sense of, I think he, in the end, he said, like, if it was your friend, I might even do it. Mm-hmm. I might do it if it was your friend, but like your friend's girlfriend was starting to get a little
but that's tangential. The kind of thing, but that's the kind of thing where I would hope you'd say, like, look, like, this is totally fucked up. And all these reasons, but if you still want it, like, I understand, like, thing, you know, if you still want it after all this, then get back to me. Like, even that would have been like, you're out of your goddamn mind, but here.
But it's one of those situations where, because I know what my brother is going to say,
right?
I was a little bit like, this is what he's going to say. And it's also, I mean, you say, I'm not really that close to him. I mean, he's my brother.
Okay.
But we don't actually talk, you know, it's not like we talk every day or even every week.
Okay.
So there's also that. So it would be the idea of, it's not like I think twice about asking my brother for a favor because he is my brother.
Mm-hmm.
But I still like to be a little judicious and not bother him for...
Yeah, possibly. I guess so. I guess I also felt like, like, this is kind of some, like, sexual thing. And it's kind of nice to, like, have an old buddy who has this, like, in sort of... And maybe there was a part of, like, this is kind of an exciting thing to be doing and da-da-da.
Really? Well, it's an adventure.
No,
it's an interesting insight into that medical situation.
No, I was really...
Of your girlfriend.
Look, I was really, like, I was really worried. And I was... And like, it wasn't... It turned to be nothing, okay? But, you know, if there's, like, the 2% chance it could be something, you want to do something for this person. And so I really... felt like especially if she's not going to go see someone and she's not going to tell anyone, like, I have to do what I can to help her out.
Okay. Well, look, I see where you're coming from, but I want to, if it's all right with you, because again, you're right. This is your podcast.
Okay.
So I don't want to be taking the steering wheel, but I'd like to segue on to, something that this conversation kind of brought up.
Okay.
And I was actually going to come in here and try and do something a bit more retrospective. My question was going to be...
a collage. A montage.
Yeah, no. My question was going to be, have you learned anything from doing these podcasts?
That's a great question. That's such a good question. I really appreciate that. Have I learned something? I think that, well...
The answer is yes, by the way. Spoiler alert.
I think that I'm trying to... I mean, like, you know, one person has said, like, you should really actually go back and listen to these things. Like, these are genuine criticisms. And these are real.
Yeah, I think that's absolutely true.
And you know me well, so you'd be, you know, able to comment on that. I guess that... I learned something. I think that maybe not taking such a, I don't know, kind of like live and let live a little bit in terms
That's
of...
That's a good one.
Yeah, because I think that not
don't
to...
get into fights with old ladies on subway trains.
No, that's something... I mean, that's something that I...
That's the Nick episode that you should go back and listen to.
No, but in terms of not being so quick to judge or to assume that your values, your way of understanding the world is right or better.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
That's a good lesson to learn.
Because I think that, yeah. So.
Well, the reason that I ask that is because when you did the episode with that lawyer,
it's like the Christmas end of the year, New Year's with the lawyer,
the Daniel episode that I responded to so viscerally,
yeah.
A big part of the reason that I responded the way that I did was because I went through law school as well and went on a different path, and the arrogance of assuming that you had to do things a certain way bothered me,
mm-hmm.
and I saw red for a few reasons, but I basically wrote to you saying, right after that episode,
mm-hmm.
saying, what is this guy's problem? This guy is awful. And you kind of wrote back to me saying, like, I interpret part of that as that you just, like, don't like to see me attacked. And you had a problem with the way that he was attacking me. And I think that's kind of sweet. And I didn't correct you at the time.
That's okay. That's how your email read. Okay.
I'm not going to. I'm not going to be like, no, fuck you. It's about this guy. No. But the point is that I want to put that as context, because I want to say that listening to the episodes, I would say that in most of these conflicts, you tend to be wrong about 75% of the time.
Really?
Yeah. In my estimation. And even with that Daniel guy, the lawyer,
yeah,
there were a few things that he brought up that I thought were legitimate. So like him... and again, if you don't want me to go too deeply into the previous episodes,
so
it's fine.
So wait a second. You're bringing up a problem that in previous problems I've been wrong? You're confirming this? Like, in some, like, I don't understand.
No. I'm trying to do something a bit more retrospective and to try and... If you talk about... So I brought up like one specific problem, but I want to segue that into a broader issue.
Okay.
Which is possible considerations about about the problems that have been illuminated by this podcast.
Okay, and can I just ask a question? Are you saying that I'm defending myself when I ought not to be in these instances?
No. I think that's a totally natural reaction.
Okay.
I think that if somebody comes at you and says, like, I'm upset that you did this, or I think that you were wrong here.
Yeah.
It's a natural, response to try and mitigate that and be like, well, I don't think it was wrong, or I think it was wrong, but understandable, because that's a totally natural response.
Okay.
When you're confronted at the time.
Okay.
But I think that retrospectively, you can think back on this stuff.
Okay, so what's the broader problem that you're going to sort of, you're going to encapsulate?
A potential problem, I would call it.
Okay.
But I'm not sure how you're going to come back to me on this, but I have a question for you.
Uh-huh.
And that is... Actually, let me phrase it in the form of a problem. let me be more decisive on this. I feel like you are a pessimistic person, right?
I mean,
would you agree with that?
That's how you feel. I don't know how you feel,
okay.
Mike.
Well, how about this? I feel like you look for and find the negative on things rather than the positive.
I'd say that's probably fair, yes.
Okay. That, I think, is a problem. That, I think, is a significant problem.
Okay.
Because I think that prevents you from enjoying life.
Okay.
And I would see that as sort of a broader systematic. Like even, I mean, you're down here in New York.
Mm-hmm.
You're pursuing your goals.
Mm-hmm.
You're, throwing caution to the wind. And I'm not sort of painting an overly rosy picture. You're obviously it's not all sunshine and roses and everything's not on easy street for you. But, You're here pursuing your goal, right?
Okay.
And there's at least in that, the functionality of that, the idea that like, from a work perspective, what you're doing is pursuing your goal.
Okay.
There's a beauty to that and a nobility to that, and you should be happy in that.
Okay.
And yet, like, I talk to you about it, and you say like, oh, I hate the administrative stuff, I hate the self-promotion. You give me this like long list of things that you can't stand about being a stand-up comic,
mm-hmm.
when this is supposed to be your dream. This is supposed to be what you're pursuing.
Okay. Okay. And so this is more like of a concern. Like this is...
It's a problem that concerns me.
Right.
But
right,
this
right.
is a problem. I would see this as a problem. And this is not something that I only see in you. I see this in a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like it is a fundamental problem when... You look at the negative aspects of life and it overpowers the positive.
Yeah.
Or you look for problems. And I'm not saying that, again, I'm not.
Well, I think like the thing is like, okay, I agree with you that I generally see sort of the darker cloud and not whatever lining there may possibly be. Or whatever.
You see the cloud and not the silver lining.
but... And probably that's the case in any situation. Like, it probably doesn't matter what's objectively the case.
Okay.
Like, really, yeah. Like, especially, things are fine. Like, I'm fine today. Like, today was a fine day. So, like, today, I enjoyed today, but... I don't know. I don't know how to respond to this. Like you're asking, I don't know. Are the people? I mean, aren't there just natural dispositions?
Yeah.
Like,
but...
are you saying that you have like?
Okay.
Like,
well,
do you work the optimists? They work at that.
No, but I'm optimistic, and this is going to sound strange. I'm optimistic because I've seen inordinate suffering in my lifetime.
Inordinate?
Not experienced. I'm a whatever, white kid from the suburbs. But
well, Greeks aren't white.
Greeks aren't white. Now you've crossed the line. This will be the subject of another podcast. No. I mean, I I'm not going to pretend that I'm some hard luck story. But what I mean is that I've seen abject poverty and suffering.
Traveling, you mean? Traveling around?
I've traveled quite a bit, and I've seen abject poverty and suffering. And strange as it sounds, that has given me an appreciation for how lucky I am.
Okay.
And I mean, because it sounds weird to be like, wow, I've seen so much misery. God, it makes me happy.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it is legitimate to say that I wasn't always a particularly positive person. I don't know if you felt that I was very optimistic when you knew me in high school. I don't think I was.
Okay.
But I think that the change happened with my travels, and I realized, like, wow, I have a lot to be grateful for, even if things aren't going well.
Okay.
Things are still going better than they are for 90% of the people in the world.
Okay.
So, and it sounds strange to objectify it that way, but that's what
maybe
underlies
my
philosophy.
Maybe it doesn't give me pleasure to know that others are worse off than I am.
Well, you and I differ. What can I say? No, but it's... And so that's why, like, it's not optimism, but you're certainly not the only person that I know who I would describe as being pessimistic.
Right.
But I think that that's a problem in the way that you see the world.
Man, this is really weird because this is like a problem where, like, you have to solve this for yourself. Like, this is, not, like, it doesn't affect you at all, really. It's not like we've had a, it's like it's an inconvenience.
Well, it gets me down sometimes.
It should make you happier.
Dave's depressed again.
I don't know. I think it's a natural disposition. Like, I think that's something that either or it was sort of cultivated.
Well, it can be. Cultured. And that said, I mean, one of the other people that I know who I would describe this way, I think is someone who it's a female lawyer that works in Toronto that went to school with me that you met.
Oh, yes. Okay.
She's very depressed and actually has since quit law and is, I believe, farming in Northern Ontario.
That sounds lovely.
Well,
I don't know.
No, she's like... not necessarily. you just leap at anybody quitting law.
No, which... I think farming is like a romantic. It's very romantic in my mind.
The issue is that it's more not necessarily that like lawyers are better than farmers or that she shouldn't be a farmer, but it's more that like she's someone who's very hardwired to be miserable, and she will always be miserable because that's really, I think, but I think that she, in her case, I'm not completely talking out of the air, but I think it's somewhat medical, and I think that she has clinical depression.
Okay. She's actually in the next room, Mike.
Yeah. This is why I was being vague. And I think it's very unlikely that she or anybody she knows is going to listen to this.
Mm-hmm.
Unless this podcast really takes off.
You hope so.
Well, no, I don't think she's identifiable based on what I've said. Unless people know her.
Maybe the one person who left law in Toronto to go farm in Northern
Ontario. That's fair. they shouldn't have given a location. I don't know. I think it's very unlikely. Anyway. Okay, fair enough. If I get an angry email from her, I will bear full responsibility. But the point is some people have to deal with clinical depression, and that forces them to see a cloud over their lives. And I see that. Mm-hmm. I don't think that's the case with you. I think that it's a philosophy and an understanding of the world.
But what's your recommendation or what are you saying? Like, what are you trying to say? Like, to snap out of it or look at things differently or see what you have and like
snap
appreciate
out of it. I can slap you now if it
like
would
that's
help.
What I think. I feel as though like 100 years ago, instead of like going to a psychotherapist
people
or taking medication,
you
your father
like,
used like you like
snap
get a grip.
Out of it. Yeah,
yeah.
I think
that's effective.
Well, I'm not, to be fair,
that was how
that's
Freud started off. Just
to be fair, that's also how they dealt with clinical depression and people with pretty much any medical problem, like broken legs, snap out of it.
Right.
My point is that like it's something to not necessarily like snap out of it, but I think it's something to consider. Is that like maybe when you're thinking of things that you don't like or are inconvenient or problematic for you, maybe think of the positives as well.
Okay.
Look on the bright side of life, David.
Right.
So this has been your daily affirmation. I want you to go to the mirror and say, I'm good enough. I'm smart enough.
Gosh darn it.
Gosh darn it, people like me. Do you have any response to that? Because I actually just, I remembered something from a previous topic that I kind of want to get back to as well.
It's a hard thing to respond to. Like, I agree with you that it's most likely better to have a positive outlook. But
comedians tend to, I guess comedians, maybe it runs in the field.
I think so. Like, it's not saying, like, it's not worth, I mean, it's the sort of thing where, you know, it's not worth being more unhappy or unhappier in order to have a, you know, to tell jokes on stage. It's not worth it. And then, I mean, or just as like, it's not good to that people have problems with you, even if it's, you know, may support some sort of ridiculous series of podcasts.
Sure.
So it's not something, I don't know, I suppose that, I don't know, it's just a sense, I feel terrible, like, not being able to respond to this. Wait, let me, hold on. Want to say what you just want to say? What do you ask?
Yeah, I just want to point out that Dave kind of left the room and sort of meditated for a few minutes.
I paused the recording and went yes,
and to collect his thoughts, which apparently is the first time that's happened.
So I
want to take a little credit for throwing these
very
awesome
terrible questions
that have made you quote that have made you question your existence and are simultaneously supposed to cheer you up.
I guess it's because there's a sense of I don't know, maybe things are unattainable or intrinsically, like, things are gonna fall away, and like most things are kind of like, what's a paper moon? Like, they're all sort of transparent. They're all sort of...
Life is suffering, and when you achieve your goals, you find out they're not the goals that you wanted.
No, but I think that things sort of maybe aren't as they seem. Like, look, I think being a kid of divorce has a big impact somehow. I don't want to sort of blame...
Okay, but you're 31 years old. I don't know if you can really...
Yeah, but they're still divorced.
All right,
I don't know. I guess you can be like always like a contemplative person. I think that, I don't know, probably what would be best would be like purely animalistic, like purely just always like eating and drinking and fucking and exercising.
But I'm not a hedonistic person.
See, but I think that's like kind of, you're an animal.
No, I'm not a hedonistic person, and I think very carefully about ethical issues and about arranging my life that way, and I also am very cognizant of doing what I can, acting in a way that is morally right, and I do think about these great questions, and I actually and obviously as part of my work, I'm confronted with major, you know, moral or ethical, or major problems in the world, and
like suppressing expression in media,
or people being jailed.
Okay.
Again, to be fair, I'm a little bit of the extreme in the other direction, where my kind of default is to just laugh at things. So I've been, and this is and
the total opposite of a comic, in fact.
So. Right, and this has actually gotten me into trouble, where I've been like, I've been in a developing world country, and people have been like, oh man, you know, they because they just passed this law, yeah, and they just arrested a bunch of journalists. And I've laughed, because like, oh yeah, that's what the government will do.
Well, why are you laughing at that?
Just because it's, yeah, I I've angered the people that I'm working with, because they've said the same thing, like, you shouldn't be laughing at that. And my next step is to take a bunch of, you know, to do work to get the people out of jail.
Right.
But like, it's just sort of, I don't know. I guess my default response is to see, you know, the irony of an expressive law being used to jail people or whatever. I mean, my point is that I acknowledge that I'm too far in the other direction.
But the thing is, like, I just, I don't know. I guess you have to have like a base level of enjoyment of life.
But why don't you enjoy life?
But I don't know. Like, I think it's sort of where you have to do things to eat. You have to put things out into the world and produce, and you're gonna, there's an exchange, and then the money, the world returns money to you effectively.
Okay,
and
but continue going on. But you also, we were talking about aging, and you asked me, like, because we're the same age, and you asked me, like, well, isn't your body starting to break down a little bit? And I'm like, yeah, well, I noticed certain things and this and that. And you're like, that's terrible. And you seemed, like, flabbergasted by this horrible truth that people age.
Like that your ankles hurt after playing soccer, that sort of thing.
Right. And I'm like, well, yeah, but that's kind of life, and I wouldn't rage against that. And my counterpoint to that would be, I was at the museum today, and I saw, like, this very old woman who was about in her, like, probably mid-90s.
I know her.
Well, it's New York City. Everybody knows everybody. No, there was a very old woman. She was in her, like, mid-90s, probably, and she was being, I think, pushed around the art museum by her what looked like her daughter and her granddaughter, and
they were talking about
like, emotionally? No, they were rolling her. No, she was in a wheelchair.
Okay.
And I don't know that it was... I had a very, very brief conversation with one of them when they asked me if they could take photos, so I don't know if it was her daughter or granddaughter, mm-hmm. but I assume so, because they were talking about the paintings she was, and they were like, oh, look at that one, and it was like, you know, that's really nice that she's aged, and she's at the end of her life, and she's taking comfort in doing these activities with her family, and... I also saw there was a husband and wife. Again, I'm assuming it's a husband. Yeah, it was a husband and wife. And I think that they were in their, like, 70s or 80s.
Mm-hmm.
And they were walking around the museum talking about the pieces. And they were holding hands.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And I see that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And in my mind, it's sort of very affirming that, like, oh, there can be, like, sort of beautiful things in old age. There's old married couples that are still in love. And
right.
there's... you know, old people that are just being doted upon by their children and grandchildren still enjoying life. And I see that and I'm like, yeah, aging sucks, but there are beautiful endings as well. And all that I can really do is hope that is do my best to end up in that situation, which is not the same as, you know, staying 21 or 25 for
right.
80 years or whatever.
Right.
But, you know, that there are better outcomes and worse outcomes, and you aim for the better outcomes, and you understand the spectrum that you're on.
Yeah, but, like, I think, and I asked you this the other day, like, do you still want the things you used to want? Like, we went out for drinks last night with a friend of mine who's a comic who's 25, and I think that the things he's going through are different, and, like, I kind of want those things still. But I don't feel like I want to be... I find those things exciting, but at the same time, I'm like, I just want to go home and go to bed. Like, I don't want to hang out till 2 in the morning anymore. So it's this weird sort of... It's not matching up. And so I'm not sure that...
But this is not a new phenomenon. This is not something that happened in the last year.
So this is
an attitude
you're saying.
That you've had... I don't know about high school. I can't remember high school well. In high school, whether you had this attitude.
No, you don't remember things in the past.
High school is a weird beast. I think we all remember high school through our
own
lives.
Look, it's a weird thing to do, stupid fucking life. This is a weird thing to do. All right? Like, it's a very precarious thing.
Comedy or life?
Yes, comedy. Like,
yes.
For instance, okay?
Okay?
Like, it's certainly, it's somewhat material.
But you were unhappy at the DOJ. You were unhappy in law school.
I was happy in summers in law school. Those were beautiful months.
when you weren't in law school.
Well, like, no, but really, like, it is kind of circumstantial, I think. But ultimately, probably not. But I don't know.
Were you happy getting your philosophy degree?
I think so.
All right.
Yeah, that felt, like, meaningful. There was purpose in that. And, like, the work, you know?
All right.
So, yeah. I believe so. Yeah, that was good.
Not in retrospect, at the time, were you a happy person?
I think so. I believe so.
I only saw you, I think, a couple of times in that when you were an undergrad. So I don't
think
know.
It's just a consequence of not thinking enough about all the subsequent decisions after that time point in time.
You idled away. You were the grasshopper.
Kind of. I think it's okay, though, those guys who, like, you know, died 27, sort of.
Well, yeah, but you can't live assuming that you're going to die at 27.
Well, clearly not.
Well, certainly not being 31, but like, yeah, I don't know. Well, all right.
Okay.
I do want to very briefly go back to a short story. a short tale. No, it's just, it's something that just came to my mind now, and I'm kicking myself for not bringing it up when we were talking about not understanding boundaries of what you could ask of people.
Okay.
So I realize this isn't great format, and it's hearkening back to something we were talking about half an hour ago, so my apologies.
Accepted.
But, so, because this really would have made my case if I'd remembered it in the discussion, but I'll just bring it up now. Because this isn't about me, but there's somebody that we both went to high school with that I went to law school with.
Okay, did she quit law to go to, like... Did she walk on the moon or something?
No. And it could be... I actually... There's two people that we went to high school with that I went to law school with. And I actually don't remember which one of them it was that told me this.
I went to law school with you, so that's fine.
Okay, so maybe...
But tell
maybe
the story.
You'll remember it after I tell the story.
Okay.
Okay, so we were chatting at some sort of law school function. And she said to me, like, I can't remember how we got into this topic of conversation, but you came up. And she was like, oh, Dave, you know, I hadn't spoken to Dave in about 3 or 4 years, maybe. And he called me up. And he said, we were talking. And he said, like, hey, so if a guy's going down on a girl, and the girl asks him, how does it taste?
Wait a second, I didn't phone her up and ask her this fucking question.
Should you be honest with her, or should you just say what's in the moment?
Wait a second. Okay, so you're taking this story. She may have like made up this fucking story.
I don't think she made up this story.
Okay, go on.
Well, that's kind of
it. I phoned her up to ask. Yes, go on. Okay, go on.
Is it? I know you didn't just phone her up, but it was basically the point is you were talking to her. You hadn't spoken to her in like years and years and years, and you were throwing this very intimate kind of question at her.
So the question is. If you could be honest, or like just
no. Okay, nice and... what you had, I was not a party to this conversation.
Okay,
but or maybe it was in person. I don't. Again, this is a hazy story that I'm remembering because I remember the funny aspects of it.
Okay,
and that is the question, which I do remember.
Yeah. Okay.
Which is, guy's going down on a girl. She asks him, "How does it taste? Should he be honest or?" Or should he like give her some sort of, you know, whatever sexy answer?
Yeah.
And so there's two reasons why I find that hilarious.
Uh-huh.
one of them is, and again, this goes back to the previous point, which is about not necessarily respecting boundaries and the limits of what to share and what to ask
friends,
people. And so I find that hilarious. And she said that to me. She was just like, because she was stunned that you had thrown this at her. And the other reason I find it hilarious is because this goes back to the indecision where I picture you in the middle of the act. In the middle of the act, just sort of like, do I? And just sort of pausing and running the different answers through your head when... Perhaps a less indecisive person would just throw out the first thing that came into his head and keep going.
Well, so what's the case? So how was she feeling about this whole interaction, though?
She was not angry, but like stunned, I think would be the way to put it.
I didn't realize that was such a weird thing. Like, I can't believe I was stuck with her and this happened.
Do you remember it? Do you remember?
I remember sort of being asked the question. Certainly, I remember that.
This must have been around
the... her.
Oh, sorry?
I really don't think that I phoned her up and asked her this.
I also don't... Maybe you met. But my point is that I was chatting to her at this event, and she... Somehow you came up, and she was like, oh, well, I hadn't spoken to him in years, and he asked me about that.
Okay, but I think...
So,
okay.
I agree that it's implausible that you looked through people that you went to high school with.
Did it? Was she put off? Was she like, I don't want to speak to him again? Like, it's weird, but like, I understand it. Or just like, it's totally...
She thought it was very weird. She thought it was weird that she was being asked that.
Well, I guess, okay, I think it's one of two people that I can think of, I think.
No, there's two people.
Yeah.
That you went to high school, that we went to high school with, that I went to law school.
Yeah, okay. I don't know who it is.
And I actually don't remember which one it is.
Okay. But they were friends, right?
Maybe.
I don't know. I have no idea what's going on. I'd like to know who it was. Well, let's pause this. And we'll, okay, 1 sec.
Okay.
All right, so we just paused it and we're here back here, and it's...
We're still done.
It's two girls who I thought... I didn't think it was them.
Does it matter, though?
It doesn't matter, I suppose, but I kind of feel as though... I guess that I felt that, you know, we were close enough friends, and we had weird sex-related conversations.
Except you can't remember these. Okay, never mind.
Yeah, but that's... What? I have a bad memory, so what do you want? I can't do
anything. No. Not that you don't remember who it was, but that you gave me, in the pause, names of two people, and it wasn't either of them. So the fact that you're coming back to me and being like, well, but we had a great rapport, and we talked about this stuff.
But now that you named the girls, the two girls who went to law school with, I can think like, okay, like, I know I had weird conversations with them in high school, and we never had, and, you know, we talked about, like, these sorts of issues in high school, I think, a little bit, and there was, like, a weird open relationship.
Sure.
So I thought, like, just because we haven't spoken in a couple years' time, like, what's the difference? I mean, I guess it's weird, but I don't know. It's like a part
that,
of life. It's
I think
a part
that
of life.
Plays into the theme of what I said earlier about the... I think it's along the same theme as asking me to ask my brother on behalf of your girlfriend about a weird gynecological thing. Without prying into this issue that you were going to tell me about in detail.
I mean, I think it's a different type of question. I think when I'm asking you like to do a favor for me, yeah. But I think this is a different type. I think it's also weird. But it's not similar.
Okay,
to,
maybe that's the connecting link.
But who else am I
going to
ask if I'm a high school friend?
Well, I wouldn't let a question like that keep me up at night. Maybe that's the key to me being optimistic.
What would you do in that situation?
What would I do in that situation?
Yeah.
I honestly would say the first thing that came into my head.
Why is that good?
What do you mean?
Okay, go on.
Because it doesn't... Well, okay, what did you do in that situation?
I believe that I said... I know that I said... it's tasted better.
Oh, my God. Oh, God. All right. Okay, so that's not the correct response.
But that's honest.
Honesty and is important in a relationship.
And it's not damning either, I think. And
it's tasted better is kind of damning.
Well,
okay. Well,
it was the best ever every single time anyway. But
I don't know. I mean, I've never been asked that. So, okay, so that, no, actually, that's not that weird. I wouldn't be, if I was asked that, I wouldn't be like, well, that's weird. Like, I've never been asked that, but that doesn't strike me as incredibly unusual for a girl to say. I mean, you know, people say strange things.
She had, not like others. That's
yeah, what, at yeah. the time.
Yeah, okay, okay.
I assume.
Yeah, I'm not saying, yeah, okay.
No. It's far more sinister if it's somebody else the morning after being like, so. No. I probably would say something along the lines of either like something nice or something about how like, oh, you're so beautiful or something like that. Or just like, just to keep the mood going.
So you would bullshit them?
That's not necessarily bullshitting them. That's, you know, pillow talk.
That's pillow talk?
I'm a romantic guy.
Well, I don't know. I don't know if I'd want that. I mean, maybe she was asking. Why ask me? Anyway, why ask
would
me
she,
something you don't answer?
If she was... I love that this just took such a crazy sexual turn towards the end. If she was honestly asking for an assessment of her gynecological state, do you think she would do it in the middle of sex?
No. No, probably not.
So... honesty is not the overriding factor here. The overriding factor is you're in the middle of an intimate moment and you want to keep the intimacy going. I don't call that bullshitting. I think that's how it goes.
I guess so. It's a stupid question to ask. I don't know. Dirty talk and all this.
Yeah, but that's not... It's tasted better. It's not dirty talk.
I know. I know. I'm not the one initiating it.
No, I think we need to add this to the list of... in my estimation, you're in the wrong. How did she... Hang on. I want to get back to this. So how did she react?
I think she frowned.
From what you can see. At least you didn't entirely kill me.
I like it talks like an understated, like, genuine response.
I imagine she knew you, and so
yeah.
She should have expected something like that.
Yeah, I think so.
So that was my conversation with Mike, and I hope everyone's, you know, come out a better person. I think the first thing that I want to say is that I ended up seeing my family in Brooklyn. What happened was that I'd given them a call, and it was the high holidays, and they weren't using technology. They weren't answering their phones, and so, like, that is my ignorance. And so whatever implication there may have been about them not getting back to me, that was purely my ignorance. And I had lunch with them yesterday, and it was still, like, a very weird experience. They're super lovely, but we're very different people. Like, they're super lovely, but just different manners. Like, I don't know, like, I'm Ashkenazi Jew, and they're more Sephardic. And it's funny just how we look so different. Like, you know, blonde hair, blue eyes, and they're very... very dark features. And also just, like, you know, my family's more kind of, I don't know, we're more sort of in the world of academia and art and all that. And my cousins, they have a business and a big family, and it's really differently warm. And the first thing I had, I sit down and they offer me lots of nice food. And then I get questioned right away, but what the hell am I doing with what I'm doing with myself? And to say, like, 3 minutes after sitting down at the table, I haven't seen them in years, they say, you're going to get this comedy thing out of your system? I mean, that's a little presumptuous. That's not welcoming or inviting. And then this friend of theirs, I never even met before, she asks me, why my financial situation? And what happened with law school and those fees and all these things. And afterwards it was pleasant, and, you know, there was, like, scotch and cigars and just warmth, but it was a little much at first, I think. So what else? I find that, like, every time, okay, what else do I talk? Okay. Yeah. I guess, I want to say that I want to say I feel like I didn't answer well the question that Mike raised about why aren't you happy or why don't you enjoy life. I didn't answer that well, and I think that's a huge question. Although in the past few days things have been, like, sincerely very nice. Just being in New York and doing stand up here, and, like, no one owes me anything, and it doesn't, you know, starting from relative obscurity, but each time it's nice, and people are getting it, and people are open and friendly and offering you more things. So perhaps that if you find work that you enjoy and that means something to you, that's ultimately fulfilling. And it's amazing, because, like, I think that largely a lot of comics go into comedy because they don't find anything else so satisfying or meaningful. And it's amazing the number of comics I'll talk to who just, they can't really conceive of doing anything else. I met a a guy who has a PhD, he was a scientist before, and this is what he does now. And he's totally open about how this is a crazy way of being. And this other comic I spoke to, which was hilarious, I thought, that he was interviewed by the school newspaper, his college newspaper, and the guy was telling me, he's like, and this interviewer kept asking me all these, what she thought were these, you know, innocent questions, like, why do you do stand-up? And he's like, I went into such detail and it threw me off. I had to think about it. And she wasn't ready for this type of like very thoughtful, serious answer. So it's been very nice. When things go well, life is nice, but it's still like a very precarious position. And what else? I guess this is a strange thing. I had a very nice interview recently at a bakery, to work at a bakery. Which is a different world than what I'm used to, you know, professionally. I've been to bakeries, sort of, you know. And what was really nice was that it was one of the easiest, most natural interviews I'd ever had. I wrote them, why I want to work there. I didn't have to misrepresent myself, I believe. I don't think I did. And I went for the interview, and they asked me if I had any questions. And I said, might I please try something? And they said, sure, you can try whatever you'd like. And I got a brownie, and it was great. And they offered me, they said, you want any coffee? And I said, yeah, please, I'd love some coffee. And I, you know, like, it's very simple things, it's uncomplicated. And whether or not that's enough to live off of, that's another issue. But who doesn't want to work at a bakery? Okay, I'm sorry to Daniel. I want to apologize to Daniel. Mike was coming at you. If you'd want to respond, I guess we could do something like this. And otherwise, I don't know. Okay, here's just a couple things. Yeah, why are things? Yeah, so, you know, things are going. Little things are coming up. You know, whatever. If you want to, no one's gonna. Some people are gonna be in Halifax because I'm gonna be there on the 25th of October. At the Halifax Pop Explosion, an opening for Todd Berry, which is very nice. And then before that, at Charlottetown, I'll be headlining, you know, what effectively is my own show, on the 20th. So yeah, you know, you can check out these, anyway, and no one's going for these things, but it's good to know about it, you know, so that's it. I guess, just continuing on as best we can. And I want to thank Mike for his retrospective of the whole sort of series thus far. And I think that why don't you enjoy life? It's a good question. And I think it's one that, hopefully will become less and less applicable, less... you know, less appropriate as time goes on. Otherwise, there have been so many problems that have arisen today that I haven't even touched upon because they still weigh very, very, very heavy. Okay. Bye.